You're tuned into 3CR 855 AM. Now, just a content note, this interview does include some distressing themes, including a discussion of state-sanctioned sexual violence. So if you need to talk to someone after listening, you can always ring Lifeline on 131114 or the Suicide Callback Service on 1300 659 467. Alternatively, you can rejoin us from 8:15 a.m. for our final interview of the show. Georgia Shields and Nina Story from the Formerly Incarcerated Girls Justice Advocates Melbourne Collective, or FIGJAM, spoke with me recently about the dehumanising practice of strip searching in the Australian correction system and why this practice needs to end. FIGJAM, Flat Out and Human Rights Law Centre have just launched a co-authored report titled Ending Strip Searches in Australian Prisons, which details the harm, prevalence and ineffectiveness of strip searching, drawing on a combination of information obtained by Freedom of Information requests and the testimony of formerly incarcerated people, including members of FIGJAM Collective. The report, published at endstripsearching.com, is accompanied by a petition calling on the federal government to ban strip searches across all Australian prisons, and endstripsearching.com also has a link to donate to support FIGJAM Collective's work. Georgia and Nina, thanks so much for making time to speak with me.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you, Priya. Really good to be on the show again.
Yes, it's always a pleasure, even though it's going to be a pretty tough conversation, tough topic today. Before we get into it, do either of you want to talk about how to sort of best prepare yourself to hear what we're going to talk about, about strip searches, about these really harmful themes of state-sanctioned sexual violence? Do you have any advice for listeners?
Yeah, I guess I just want folks to be mindful that we are going to be talking about sexual assault, especially in relation to it being authorised and perpetrated by the state. And if this is triggering for you or if it brings something up for you, please reach out to your family and your friends and get the love and support that you need. You don't need to do this alone. I know it can be really daunting to ask for support, but I know from my experiences that when I do speak up, the people that love and care for me are there for me. So just encourage folks to do that.
Thanks, Nina. Now, to begin with, can you talk about what strip searches are and how they work?
Strip searches, they're done by people in positions of power. You're ordered to take off all your clothes in front of them. Sometimes you have to do things like lift your breasts and, you know, open your mouth, show behind your ears, and then even like squat and cough, show between your bum cheeks. You have to like remove your tampons and your pads, and they will inspect those too and things like that. It's pretty traumatizing, especially if you've been through sexual violence, which a lot of women have, most women have. But I also wrote a letter to my friends and family after I'd been incarcerated. This is about 2 weeks after. And this was my experience of my first and luckily my only strip search while I was incarcerated. So I'll read that out for you. After leaving with the correctional officer at the back of the courtroom, I was taken to the holding cells underneath the county court. I was immediately taken into a horrible grey room with cold white lighting by two female officers and ordered to take my clothes off one by one, shake each item and hand them to be inspected. I was standing there completely naked with no comfort being offered by these officers as I am now officially convicted scum of society. As most, if not all of you know, nudity is not something that scares nor intimidates me. But this was truly horrible. I was no longer empowered in my body in these moments, but made to stand naked with an overwhelming sense of shame, guilt, and humiliation, something I've never felt while being naked before, not in this way at least. Ironically, they then left the room to give me privacy to redress myself, but they took part of my dignity with them and have been trying to take back the pieces ever since. So yeah, that's how it felt.
Yeah, that's so powerful. And thank you for sharing that, because I can imagine that, you know, talking about it also brings back those memories. So it's not easy. We'll move into the question of what strip searches are actually intended to achieve. Where are they used and do they actually work?
I think that on paper, they're intended to find contraband. And I think that we're led to believe this means like weapons and like drugs and things like that. Realistically, they don't find much. They find like less than 1% of the time they actually find anything at all. And when they do find something, it's like gum and like paper clips. And it's very rarely anything that's dangerous at all. So I don't really know what they're for, apart from punishment, it seems like, to us, as a way to control us and exert power over us.
Nina, do you want to add anything?
Yeah, just that I think that we society and community are fed a lie and so many lies when it comes to the prison system, especially around safety and sort of what prison entails. And strip searching is one of those practices that we're led to believe creates safety. But like Jo's already said, that it doesn't create any worse or better environments, that it is purely used as a weapon of coercion and power and control. And in the prison system, we just have to be really mindful of some of the language that they use too. Like, you know, they have a therapeutic unit and the post-separation practice program, which is isolation. And, you know, and there's no healing and recovery within prisons. And so I think it's really important to let the listeners know that, it doesn't provide safety. It is, and I'll use the language of the prison. They say it's to maintain good order, which like in itself does showcase that it's used as a method of power and control. And we do have alternatives to prevent contraband from coming into the prison, like x-ray machines and wands, which are a lot more effective. And I also want the listeners to know that the word contraband can mean a number of different items. Like it's framed in our minds as weapons and things that possibly could cause somebody else harm. But from the report, if folks want to read it, it's entails that the contraband is actually more things like medication, chewing gum, tobacco, SIM cards, which really speaks to the inability for people while they're incarcerated to get their needs met. They don't have access to medication and things like that. And that's why they resort to trying to get medication in for themselves.
Nina, I wanted to go back to you to ask about how strip searches fit into this broader system of dehumanization of people who are incarcerated, and how do they impact upon women and gender diverse people, and also children in particular?
Yeah, I mean, like right now, right across prisons in so-called Australia, including children as young as 12 years old are being forced to expose and contort their bodies for inspection under the guise of security. And, you know, and this is obviously a really stark power dynamic, but children are undergoing these strip searches by adults. And so where is the protection for these young people? Strip searches are deeply traumatic and are experiences and acts of sexual assault and coercive control. And victim survivors and family violence survivors and child abuse survivors are being re-traumatized by these harmful practices that achieve absolutely nothing. Hundreds of strip searches have found no contraband at all. And, you know, being in what we think is a progressive country with a government that promises to eradicate violence in one generation, I have absolutely no understanding how we can authorize state-sanctioned sexual assault.
Yeah, I found that my experience when I was in there was that so many of the officers were seemingly in this job in order to have a place to freely abuse people without any repercussion. There's no rules in there for them. They can do what they want. They don't have to really, you know, report any of the stuff that they're doing. So when you think about people that are going in there to just like generally abuse people, you have to think about like, are there people that are getting this job so that they can go into the youth system and sexually abuse children as well by strip searching them? Because strip searching is sexual assault. So you just have to really think about how many predators are getting jobs in places like that as well. It's pretty frightening.
Yeah, and I think something that the report draws attention to and really makes, non-negotiable is the fact that this is not a practice that would be accepted in any other part of society, and yet it is accepted as part of the way that the correction system operates, as a normal part of the way the correction system operates. When it comes to actually getting a sense of how often this happens, what are some of the issues that you've seen in terms of, corrections officers actually reporting how they've conducted these searches, when they've conducted these searches, and the difference in the kinds of reporting that, Georgia, you've done in your letter to your family and friends versus how this stuff's recorded?
Yeah, I think given that we've got a number of different prisons across Australia, some are maximum security, some are low security, some are private, some are in different states and territories, we've got different legislation, different rules, different procedures of how we collect data, and even the FOI process that the Human Rights Law Centre went through. It was a years of a fight to be able to get that. And you can tell from the data that what we received was vastly different from different states. So it's very clear that there's no real clear legislation or policy around how data is collected and what sort of information is collected. But from what we did get, it vastly proves that they are completely ineffective and unnecessary.
Now, I wanted to ask about the use of less invasive alternatives to strip searches. In the report, you talk about how this can be a step in the right direction, but that we should also be cautious still about how these alternatives are used. Nina, could you speak to what some of those alternatives are? I know you touched on a few at the start.
Yeah, we've got X-ray machines within some of the prisons that don't get used as often as they could. And also, it's the same X-ray machines that you would find at an airport. So, folks would be familiar with that, and they have a very clear understanding that walking through that does not cause any sort of harm. And also that there are wands that can be brushed over your clothing that can also detect drugs or other substances. So there's definitely things that are more effective. And I mean, these routine sort of inspections before and after every time that you leave the prison or enter a prison or move prisons, I think too that the prison needs to take some accountability as well, that we have been in their care, so why do we need an under complete scrutiny and surveillance from the point where we might be going out for a medical treatment? This is including when women are giving birth, that when we come back from giving birth, we do not need to be strip searched. We've given birth under the surveillance of the department, so it's absolutely unnecessary.
I just wanted to say, when I after I was strip searched at the court, I was put into a cell, and then I was taken from the cell to a truck, from the truck to the prison. I was never like out of the sights of any of these officers, and they've strip searched me already. And then when I get to the prison, I'm put into this X-ray machine, and it's not even, it's like, and I think some airports have them, but it's like those extra detailed ones. Like, they made a comment that I was wearing a bikini top as a bra. They were like, "Oh, are you wearing a bikini top as a bra?" I was fully clothed. So it's like, why did they feel the need to strip search me when they've got this like higher technology there that is much more useful for everyone involved, much less invasive for me? I don't understand what the need for the strip search was at the very beginning. It just seemed like a way to dominate and show their power. So I think it's completely unnecessary to do the strip search in the first place.
It does show how violent that power dynamic is. understand that alongside the launch of the Ending Strip Searching in Australian Prisons report, you're also starting a petition. What are you demanding and how can listeners sign?
Yeah, we're demanding that strip searches are banned in all prisons in Australia by law. And we've got a petition on change.org. The petition is called Petition to Australian Governments Ban Strip Searches in Australian Prisons. So if you could go ahead and sign that, we hope to make some positive change.
Awesome. We will include a link to that in our show notes. And is there anything else that you both wanted to mention before we wrap up?
Yeah, I would just like to thank all of the formerly incarcerated folks, all of the allies, all of the people that have been putting up the fight to end strip searching. Flat Out has been instrumental in this. They've been doing the work for about 35 years, and I'm so grateful for that. It makes the work feel lighter. I do want to give a very, very special shout out to Aunt Vicky Roach, who is so incredibly dear to me and was the first formerly incarcerated advocate that I'd ever met and gave me so much hope in the space. She's also written the foreword for the report. So, yeah, massive shout out to you, Auntie.
Amazing. And there's a beautiful picture of her in there as well. All right. Thank you both so much.
Thanks, Priya.
Thank you so much for having us.
And that was Georgia Shields and Nina Story from Fig Jam Collective speaking about the dehumanizing practice of strip searching in the Australian correction system and why this practice needs to end. Head to endstripsearching.com to find out more about today's report and to donate to Fig Jam's work, as well as sign a petition calling on the federal government to ban strip searches across Australian prisons.